Everyone, this is Tim Pichot, joined with John Snyson of The Economic Truth, and today we're going to talk about Elizabeth Warren's new economic proposals. And so right now I'm actually reading an article from Vox, of all places, because I figured that if you're reading an article that's left-leaning, then at least they can't say it's, you know, coming from Fox News, but you know, they're all the same. They both made my fake news list 2 years ago. Americans currently spend $3.7 trillion paying their share of employer-provided health insurance premiums. That money left in their wallets becomes taxable, adding $1.4 trillion. Warren also proposes a financial transaction tax of 0.1% of the value of every stock, bond, or derivatives transactions. That raises $800 billion. Then she adds a systemic risk fee on financial institutions with more than $50 billion in assets. That's another $100 billion. So we've got a lot more other stupid ideas that she's come up with. But right now, I mean, what is going to be some of the unintended consequences, let's say, of something like a financial transaction tax? I think they also refer to that as a Tobin tax. But what do you think kind of like unintended consequences do you see arising from just that first proposal?
Well, first of all, like what's going to happen is there's just going to be new avenues to tax evade. The lawyers of the ultra rich is going to, you know, write new ways, and then they're going to have their fingers in. And of course, there's legislations to make sure that, you know, they're able to, you know, navigate their way through those taxation problems. That's always what happens anywhere in the world where you have, you know, very ultra wealthy people. They will always, you know, make sure that their lawyers take care of them, and then, you know, lobby for these, you know, loopholes to be created within these things. And unless you have, you know, very good lawyers, or you know the right people in the financial world, you know, you wouldn't be able to participate in those loopholes. So that's probably, it's just going to be another, like, more loopholes created. And then potentially what I see, though, is that you're probably going to have a whole bunch of banks moving to, you know, other jurisdictions that it's better to do business because they don't want to pay any taxes on financial transactions. And then if you talk about financial transactions, so what are you going to, what are you going to actually call a financial transaction? Is it a transaction between me and Tim, you know, just sending money to each other? Is it, you know, when you go to a grocery store and buy something, are you going to add another tax to that? Like, that's financial transaction. So it's very loose language. I know what they're, you know, of course, coming after evil Wall Street and
high-frequency trading.
Yeah, but still, like, it could have very, since it's very vague, you know, it could have very unintended consequences where they could come after a lot more than just the high-frequency trading taxation, you know, where you tax, you know, the millisecond trades that they have and so on.
Or you might start getting more dark pools and this other private over-the-counter transactions that they don't even know about. And, you know, these are Wall Street guys who are obviously got there because they are smart. Whether or not we agree with everything they do, that's a whole other topic of debate. But the next thing that Warren proposes is adding another $2.9 trillion in corporate taxes by ending accelerated cost recovery and imposing a 35% minimum tax on foreign earnings.
Well, that's again, you know, they're trying to literally, like, tax corporations and businesses everywhere they are. This is a part of the FATCA, of course, and other things that, you know, the U.S. government has put forward, is trying to, make it very hard for you to leave the United States of America, and, you know, trying to double tax you if you're in other countries and so on. You don't have that, like, with most other nations. You know, it's very hard for them. Like, I know that Norway is trying to.
Everywhere except for, I think, here and Guam, or like one or two other places.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just another, you know, flawed kind of thing of trying to, you know, hunt after these big corporations. What you need to do is you actually need to remove most of the legislation for all the legislation, all the fees and everything that needs to be in place for somebody to get involved and start a new business in those fields. And then you might have some competition, because now, you know, there's legislative powers that, you know, that these corporations have used to lobby to create, you know, barriers to entry in all these different markets. So, of course, they created that. So now it's not easy for anybody else to compete with them. And now we're just going to go after them. And then it's still going to be really hard for those corporations to it's still going to be hard for people to actually get in and be able to compete with them. So you're still going to have the same, you know, corporate elite in control. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you try to tax them more. They're going to dodge it. They're going to find ways to, you know, get their money around the world. Anyhow, they're going to use whatever mechanisms they have. They got enough money to, you know, use lawyers and and tools to avoid those taxes. And then, of course, you're going to have the 10% that is stuck there, you know, that's going to be get hit because they are the ones that doesn't have the, you know, the ultra wealthy lawyers. They still have a lot of money, but they don't have, you know, the apparatus that these big corporations have.
And where does you think this money is going to come from? I mean, at the end of the day, we are the ones who pay the corporate tax because a company needs to spend another 10% of its revenue on taxes, then they raise the price of their good 10%. Now, they can cut to a certain degree, but eventually that is going to be felt by higher prices by everyone else. And so, you know, whether you're paying it directly as an out-of-pocket premium to a healthcare provider or whether or not everything you buy has another embedded tax in it, I would probably say Warren's Way will probably end up paying a lot more. I mean, I just take a look at what I was doing before Obamacare and after Obamacare. And right now we are in Maricopa County, which actually saw the highest increase in, which, you know, awesome stat to have, the highest increase in healthcare expenditures. And, you know, it's kind of apples to oranges, but my bill went from $70 a month, $1,200 deductible to closer to $1,200 a month with a $6,000 deductible. Now, granted, I then got married and had, you know, two small kids, but you're still talking about, you know, two kids under the age of four, and then also, you know, my husband or my wife, you know, says one unit, you know, we hardly ever use the care, but we still have to pay absolutely through the rate. So through the nose. So another bad idea that Elizabeth Warren has is prior to this plan, Warren's wealth tax was 2% on assets over $50 million and 3% on assets over $1 billion. Sorry, billionaires, now it's 6%. So I guess if you have over $1 billion, she wants to charge you a 6% wealth tax. So this is you've got a net worth of $1 billion. So maybe you have unrealized stock that you haven't sold. You would actually every year get charged 6%. So it's not like you get whacked 6% once, which would be bad enough. You'd every single year have that compound and compound and compound. And then people are going to do things like they're going to get charitable trust, which is strategies that I help people out with right now.
Clinton and a whole bunch of others use.
Yeah, which actually Jeffrey Epstein was actually the attorney or was the financial advisor who set up the Clinton Foundation. And, you know, when he probably did not kill himself, who knows if he's even still alive. But so what this is going
to
do.
I would say welcome to Norway. Like Norway has a wealth tax, like where you have stagnant money sitting in the bank or whatever it is. They actually tax you. It's not like a direct tax on all kind of assets that you have, but you actually have that in Norway where you have standing money somewhere. It's going to get taxed. So it's, you know, it's a big thing and the reason why a lot of businesses moved out of Norway. And, you know, the big business guys, they were in, you know, London or elsewhere where they actually have beneficial tax laws.
And we're talking about unrealized gains. So, okay, you know, you bought Apple stock for $1 and now you've got, you know, thousands and thousands of share. Now I'm not sure what it's at now. I'll say it's, you know, $200 right now. And so you haven't actually sold and realized those gains, but you're going to get taxed. And so then when you're taxed, then the only way you can then pay for that is by then selling your assets, which is then going to depreciate the stock market. But it's not just you, it's you and everybody else who are in that.
How about your car? You know, you buy a car, like the bank look at it as an asset. Are you gonna start taxing people for having a car or a house, you know? Like,
well, that depreciates, and then they're getting rid of accelerated depreciation for businesses. So maybe the car is not the best example, but, you know, whether even a cryptocurrency. So, okay, you bought crypto on Coinbase or Bittrex or Kraken or one of the big U.S. exchanges, and, you know, the price of Bitcoin at the end of the year goes up to, let's say it's, you know, $50,000 of Bitcoin December 31st, and then January 2nd it crashes down to $8,000. Well, then you're on the hook for when it was at $50,000. Now you've got to liquidate all your Bitcoin to pay the taxes.
Well, you know, this comes back to, like, what is really an asset, right? And when you look at assets, yeah, it's, you know, the banks and everybody says that it's what do you hold in stocks, bonds, you know, house, your house, whatever it is. But really, to me, an asset is not an asset until you actually are able to sell it for a profit. So, like, this is just totally, utterly insane that they're, you know, coming after unrealized gains. And, you know, as you said, you know, if you actually, you know, follow, like, are like most people and you sell, you know, low and buy high, well, you're going to get whacked by this tax for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, as part of this enforcement, she's also, you know, saying that they're going to raise another $2.3 trillion by going after the rich and doing more tax audits to catch people trying to evade taxes.
Yeah, and this is also part of what me and Josh actually covered. We covered before the Panama Papers. We found a report called the OECD report for I believe it was BEPS. So it's base erosion and base erosion and profit shifting. It's called, which is part of the UN, is working on this together with the OECD. And it was bilateral workings between nations to be able to track taxes in between nations. And this came out, like, they had this available before, like, right before the actual Panama Papers came out. And then, you know, voila, it didn't happen too long. Like, the next year, Canada had BEPS in its budget. And it's like, what is BEPS? People are like, well, it's what we've been talking about, base erosion and profit shifting. So it's basically coming after, you know, as you said, you know, people moving money offshore and trying to, you know, tax them at any moment that they can buy. But what's going to hurt? It's not going to hurt, again, you know, the ultra wealthy. It's going to hurt, you know, the actual business class, the real business class of, you know, small, medium-sized business owners that are out there, you know, competing in a free market per se. They're the ones that's going to get whacked by this.
And the thing is, from a 100,000-foot view, none of this even matters, because the whole thing is, if the money is backed by debt, so the dollar bill you have in your pocket, you know, when it first came in circulation, December 23rd, 1913, had 4% interest on it. So after you create $1, at the end of year one, you owe $1.04. There's no way to mathematically pay back $1.04 with a dollar. We live in this high-tech slavery system. And then the fact now is, there's so much debt in the system, is you could take all the top 1%, take all the billionaires, confiscate 100% of their wealth, assume they're still going to make the same amount of money, which they wouldn't, and then take all that income, and great, you run the government for like 3 months. I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, all these people want to tinker around with the edges, and the super rich are the ones who own the politicians, who want the high taxes, because guess what? Warren Buffett is the one who is the largest recipient through his various companies of the 2008 bailout. And then you take a look at some of the secret bailouts that went on, journalists like Mark Pittman, who then mysteriously died right afterwards, probably not too unlike Jeffrey Epstein. But, you know, so this guy who did a FOIA request saw that there was, you know, $16 trillion secret bailout, which is hardly ever even covered, and this is way before I was coming on WHAM, probably even before WHAM was created, when they ended up figuring out that the $800 billion TARP was just a smokescreen for another $16 trillion. But these are all the richest people in the world. I mean, even Gaddafi's got money. You know, the European Central Bank, and this was American...
Oh, Canadian banks got money, too, through the TARP fund and through the secret bailout. So, it's they basically bailed out the whole banking industry worldwide, the American taxpayers.
And so those, the richest people out there, want to raise your taxes because they're the ones who write the laws and own the politicians to get your money. And so the fact that, you know, all these liberals who have, probably a lot of them have well intentions, that they don't realize that everything they're advocating for is literally, basically, they were conditioned to think that because these guys hire all the psychologists, hire all the PR, all the programming on television programming, all the propaganda you get from the government schools to then condition you to think that way, to basically beg for your own enslavement, which is, you know, Paul Warburg, creator of the Federal Reserve System, said, we shall have one more world currency, it's just a matter of it's through consent or conquest. And so what they're doing is they're going to get people to beg them basically for more enslavement. That's exactly what I think everything that's going on with Elizabeth Warren. What does John say?
Well, yeah, it's 100%. It's all about creating all these laws and regulations, making it like it's getting harder and harder for people to live around the world. Like, look at all the protests around the world, you know, in Lebanon, Chile, Hong Kong, France, now in several Arabic countries as well. You're just seeing the symptom of the fiat currency system that's, you know, destroying the wealth of all these people and all, of course, the purchasing power of their medium of exchange. And it really has corrupted, you know, every single society around the world to a point where, like, we're losing all this power, and we're basically then forced to go because there's not enough from the business, like from the incomes. You know, she's trying to say that she's pro workers and all this. There's not enough money on that side to actually then sustain, because the corporations, they are forced into, you know, paying dividends, so they got to cut, you know, a whole bunch of work employees because the people that are sitting on the shares wanting dividends, they want to fight inflation, and so they constantly need more and more, and then these corporations need to cut more and more, create, you know, worse product. Like, look at, for example, the toxic products of the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, all this stuff that comes from that push and need to, you know, give all those dividends to their investors. But then the problem is you have an inflationary currency, so you constantly need to give them more and more and more. But as you have that, you get less and less income. So it's just a vicious cycle that you create.
And one thing before we leave that I just remembered is I was watching a few minutes of the debate so that way you guys didn't have to. And during the last debate, I remember Elizabeth Warren saying, and there's only one thing. And I don't know, that's probably a bad voice, but, you know, there's only one thing that I've studied my entire life, I've devoted my entire life to, and it's a single issue of why people end up going broke. And you know what? The people go broke because of all of your ideas and, you know, the fact that, you know, Washington, D.C. is permeated with people who are Keynesians who just think that, you know, more broken windows, fake alien attacks, that the fax machine is going to have a little more relevance than the internet, or that the internet will have a little more relevance than, you know, the fax machine. All these idiots who are up there in Congress, who are up there in the swamp, and they are literally just begging for the exact things that got them into the situation. And it's so frustrating, and I'm sure it's frustrating for all of you out there that just see this over and over and over and over again. And I'm not sure, you probably maybe are a little bit older to maybe not be a millennial, or we're at the top end of the millennial spectrum, but seeing the you know, just everyone else in our generation who is just basically, you know, probably 70% openly embracing this type of socialism, that we are definitely, you know, the outsiders, I guess, when it comes to
right at the back of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get the bad rap of being, you know, the millennials, even though, you know, there's very little, I think, that John and I have in common with your average millennial that's out there. But anyways, you know, we just wanted to get a quick video on, you know, some of the disasters that would result from an Elizabeth Warren presidency. I mean, at the end of the day, everything is too little, too late. There's no amount of fixing this. You could take all the rich people's wealth, not going to matter. And everything they're doing is just going to, you know, make things even worse. And it's not going to, and then the rich are just going to get even more powerful. They've already got all the money. It doesn't matter. And the richest people hire people like me that help set up different types of charitable trusts and make everyone basically better off except for the IRS. And so I don't see any of these proposals doing anything that they think it's going to do. And all that's going to happen is your healthcare is going to get worse. It's going to take a lot longer. And everyone's going to be a lot less happy, and then probably even cut life expectancy. So these policies will literally kill you.
Well, yeah, and like Elizabeth Warren, you know, she studied this all her life. I'm very depressed to see that, you know, what she's come up with. It really sucks that you used all your life on, you know, actually putting out all these policies. Meanwhile, you don't even recognize that it's actually the currency printing and the flawed monetary system that you were talking about, you know, that you owning more interest than you actually have debt and so on. That is what's creating all this, you know, the poor people in the world. And then you have bozos, like you were talking about Paul Krugman there. I wouldn't say another stupid thing that he actually just came out with and tweeted. He said that money is debt we owe to ourselves. He repeated it in, you know, capital letter, yeah, like a social justice warrior, crazy person. But it's like, yeah, if I go to the bank and I actually, you know, borrow money, that's not money owed to myself, you idiot. You know, these people are just so blatantly just think in the ways of government, that, you know, the government can print millions upon millions of dollars. Meanwhile, then you will create exactly the same problem that you're trying to prevent by all these taxes. And so it's just a vicious cycle that they're going to continue to keep on unless we change the actual physical monetary system.
And this is a point that I just am thinking of right now. So Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, you know, she, you know, what group of people in America are the most worst off? It's the Native Americans. Yeah. And then who are the ones who are basically who get the, you know, most amount of, you know, quote unquote help, you know, government assistance. And then all of a sudden, then they get dependent on it. There's incentives for them not to work. And so if she actually took her own culture that she was hijacking, that we all know isn't her culture, and actually studied that, then you'd actually see, you know, who is, you know, who's really better off. You know, the, you know, let's say, I mean, look in the 30s, I mean, you had Japanese and Italian Americans in internment camps, and, you know, the Japanese Americans are probably the wealthiest group of Americans there are, and then you've got the Native Americans who get, you know, the most quote-unquote help, and all their help goes to making, you know, a couple of fat cats at the very top get super rich with deals that they have in the casinos.
Yeah, 100%. This is like back where I'm from too. There's, you know, a casino, like one of the head chiefs of, it's called Pegasus Reserve. He lives in the city in a $3 million home. Meanwhile, it's his reserve is one of the worst off in Canada. So you just
and a $3 million in Winnipeg is a lot different than $3 million in Vancouver.
Oh, it definitely is. It's a massive mansion that he lives in. So and of course they, you know, they gave them the garbage of, you know, the casino industry that, you know, they're basically, you know, ripping people off there as well, right? So they, you know, they really have done a lot of harm to the Aboriginal people. Like I see, like my wife, she is from the Pegwis Reserve originally, but they were actually the ones that stayed out of, you know, the reserve. They didn't go on the and basically the internment camp that they created these reserves into for those poor Aboriginals, and so they were actually very well off. Like most of our families, you know, are doing quite successful things, and but they didn't go to the reserve where they became dependent on the government.
Yeah, and so, you know, basically, government, freedom's the answer. What's the question? Unfortunately, for people like Elizabeth Warren, it's government's the answer. What's the question? Same thing we see over and over and over again. Anyways, I'm Tippett Choate, the Liberty Advisor, along with John Snyson.
Yeah, and, you know, it's we're here from World Alternative Media. You know, find the truth.
Be the change.